Yeah, so I'll just get started. So my name is Will Stevens. I'm a VP of Apache Cloud Stack and lead developer at CloudOps. I was also the release manager for the 4.9 Cloud Stack release. And everything that I do in this demo and all the slides and everything are going to be at this this repo. So if you want a reference to the actual scripts, or you want to take away some of these things for later, they're there. So this is basically what we're going to be building. So it's a little small to see. Basically, you have an edge firewall. This is all being run on VMware Fusion on my Mac. So I'm basically going to,
Sorry, can you just go back?
Yeah. So this is all going to get run on VMware Fusion. This is basically my edge firewall. It's going to be connected to my Mac's network. And so basically what that allows me to do is this is my uplink. The blue network is the management network. The orange network is the public network. And the green network is the guest network. This is my hypervisor. This is my management server. And this is my my edge firewall, essentially. So I'm going to get right into it because I'm going to be configuring this from scratch as we go. So this is my my upstream router, and I don't have any configuration on it yet. So we are going to basically kick off a script, and I probably will refer back to this a little bit, but here is the script that it is running. It basically is setting up some information about being able to SSH in, setting up the stuff to listen on, giving some IP addresses, setting up some NATing and such. And this is basically my edge firewall. So now that that's set up, I'm just going to start getting other stuff going as well, because it takes a little while. So we're going to configure the network here.
It's going to be fine.
All right, so that's going to configure the network there, and I'm just going to do the same thing on KVM as well. I'm going to get one error here because I forgot to remove a NIC, because I wanted to put my scripts on. I had to put my scripts on the actual boxes because I didn't want to have to deal with all the shuffling. So I put an extra NIC on each of the boxes for my network, my Mac's network, to be able to upload stuff to it. I forgot to take it off. The reason we're getting a pop-up here is because for KVM, they have bridge networks, and so those come up in promiscuous mode, and each one I have to agree that those are that it's okay that it does networking. So those basically just rebooted. Essentially, the VIOS was the edge firewall. This is the management server, and this is the hypervisor. We've just done the first step in both of these. Let me just see if we have, okay. All right, so now, I did the update OS thing earlier. Essentially, I pulled down a whole bunch of the packages and stuff like that, so you guys don't have to wait for packages to come. And then basically, we just did the network install, so now we're gonna install Apache Cloud Stack. That is essentially, that is this. So I've commented out the getting the stuff from the repo because it just takes too long. I didn't want you guys to bore you guys with that. I'm basically disabling SE Linux. I am configuring some, putting it in permissive mode. basically putting NFS mounts for my primary and secondary storage. I'll explain why I do that in a bit. And then I basically allow through IP tables all of the NFS traffic. And then these bottom three here are for cloud stack communication. I set up MySQL, bounce or start the services required, and then I basically set up the database for cloud stack and set up the management server. And then down here, this basically will grab the template from secondary storage. And right now, I'm actually running this on my Mac, so I don't get it from the internet, so it's quick. Okay, so we have that kicked off. Good, it's processing encryption. Let me just kick off the so we're going to install the KVM box at the same time. This is basically going to be doing similar stuff. It's going to basically set up QEMU and libvirt and mount the primary and secondary storage. I'll come back to those again after. And then basically, so I'll just come back and talk about this a little bit. So for VIOS, this is basically our uplink for the environment to the internet. It also acts as the gateway for both the management and public networks. And it basically acts as our edge firewall for this environment. And it protects the management network from the other networks. This is how it's set up. It's super, I'm not expecting a lot of load, so it's pretty slim resources. First NIC is the Ether is the internet. It is shared with my Mac. The next one is the public IP, public network, which is the 192.168 and the 80. And then 172.16, this is my management network. And then on CloudStack, the management network, basically in this case, it's going to be the entry point for the web UI and the users engaging. It's also the API endpoint. Its role is to orchestrate the hypervisors. It also has to orchestrate all of the guest networks, public networks. Orchestrates all of the storage. In our case, we're running the database on the management server. You usually wouldn't. You'd usually have a master slave or something along those lines. You wouldn't run it on the actual management server, but for simplicity, that's what we're gonna do. And we're putting NFS mounts on there as well. Usually you'd use a SAN, but I separated it so that it wasn't on the KVM box, so that you had like a logical separation between your storage and your hypervisor. Usually what you would have is you'd have an additional network that is a storage network, and you'd be running all of your storage over the storage network. For simplicity, I didn't do that, but I did separate it so that the storage isn't on the hypervisor, because it usually isn't. You usually have it as a SAN or an iSCSI connection of some kind, and so we can get into those details later if we like. This is a little bit more beefy, but still quite slim. Has a management interface, and that's it. On KVM, basically, this is where kind of all the magic happens. In this case, this network is actually this dongle. And the reason it has a physical loopback. The reason I do that is because I have to do VLAN trunking on this network, and the Mac doesn't let you do VLAN trunking unless you have a physical interface, and the only way to make a physical interface on a Mac is to frickin' do a loopback device. So, hey, there it is. So anyways, that's what this green network is. It's kind of a misconception here, because this pink and this green, they're actually the guest network. The green is basically the... The network, this is really the isolation. It's isolated with the VLAN tags, and it's so this kind of it might be confusing, but we can come back to that if we're more interested. So the duties of the KVM obviously is to provide the compute resources to be orchestrated. It hosts the system VMs, and it basically it does the isolation for the guest network, and it hosts the guest VRs. It also has to do all of the snapshotting functionality and such. Basically, the hypervisor handles the snapshotting features. Here, the main difference is that we have a little bit more memory and such. This is probably the most important thing on this slide. This allows you to pass through the virtualization flag. So this is how you get VMX in the OS. In this case, it's CentOS 7 is what I'm using everywhere. But that allows you to run KVM in a inside VMware Fusion. It basically passes through the virtualization. In this case, we have the management network, the public network, and the guest network, which is this dongle. So now we should have, where am I? Okay, so basically at this point, CloudStack has been installed, and it has copied over the template. So now we are going to deploy our data center. So if I just look at CloudStack right now, let me just go and do that. It's going to be up, and it's going to have a UI there, but it's going to basically say, hello, welcome to CloudStack. You haven't done anything yet. And it basically gives you continue installing or whatever. Well, usually what you do is you go through and you manually set up your zones and your pods and your clusters and your hosts and your networking and your ranges and stuff like that. And I don't have time for that shit. So basically what I'm doing is I am doing a deploy data center here, and what is that going to do is CloudStack has this tool that we use in development and testing. It's called Marvin, and part of that is the ability to orchestrate like script the orchestration of CloudStack in a way. So essentially, this is what we're doing. I'm basically grabbing Marvin from my laptop. I'm grabbing the deploy data center, which is actually from the source of CloudStack. And I'm just, since I installed a production-like environment, I installed it from packages and stuff. So it doesn't have these like things that you have in source that when you build a dev environment, you have access to this stuff, and you forget that people in production don't have access to this because it's like you're just used to using it for setting up dev environments and stuff like that. So basically, I set it up. I run a couple of MySQL things. One, 8096. This is a port that allows for unauthenticated API calls to be run against CloudStack. And this host basically it's just to specify what the management server is going to be. I stop it twice because that's a known bug. And then I start it. Since these are global configurations, you have to bounce the management server for the global configuration to actually take effect. So then I basically wait for the server to come back up. And then I run the deploy data center with the demo config. And I'll look at that again. And then after that's done, I basically turn off the integration port because I don't want unauthenticated access to this environment. Like, in this case, it doesn't matter, but if you were running a production environment, you definitely wouldn't want 8096 open. Restart the server again, and then we're back good to go. So I'm going to take a quick look at this demo config so we have a little bit of an idea what's going on here. The zone is just this. This is the guest network range, and It basically just means that every guest network is going to get spun up in that range. This is the VLANs that I have specified for guest networks. So when it isolates the guest networks, they're all going to be isolated in that range of VLANs. These are basically the different networks that I have set up, and this KVM CloudBridge. These are basically the traffic type that that gets set up in CloudStack for KVM. So this is basically the interfaces on which CloudStack. It's the interfaces associated with those networks on the hypervisor. These are the providers. These basically are don't worry about those for the most part. isolation type is VLANs. This IP range is the public IP range. These are the available IPs. So you'll see that you can give it a /24, and then you can pick what your range is. In this case, I did most of the range, but I only did from 6 because I'm using 5 as my gateway. Using advanced networking, the pod configuration, here's my management range. So this is basically the range that system VMs are going to get spun up in. I can get back to that kind of stuff. That's not that big of a, like, I can, you don't necessarily have to know all this. It's just, this is basically the configuration of what my CloudStack is going to be configured as, and I'm just not having to deal with going through all the UI to explain it. So we have, this cluster has a primary storage, and I have secondary storage. These are the ones that I mounted on the management server. This is my database server. And then I have some global config that I'm pushing at the same time, and then here's my management server, and this is my database server. All kind of the same thing. So let's see whether or not this is finished. It's still deploying the data center. Okay, so while it's doing that, where is my slides? This just gives us a little bit of an idea. We've kind of covered this, other people have covered this, but essentially, your zone is synonymous with a data center. Your pods are basically a rack. Your clusters are, you can have clusters. Clusters are part of a pod. A cluster has to be all one hypervisor, but you can have multiple clusters in a pod, and so you can have multiple hypervisors all in the same environment. All the hosts, obviously, in a cluster have to be the same type. Your primary storage is associated with your cluster you have primary storage per cluster. UCS, we're just going to ignore for now. Secondary storage is a zone-wide storage that basically handles all of your snapshots, templates, ISOs, pretty much everything that is like an archive storage. It's like usually very, very cheap storage. This is if it is a zone-wide storage. So that would be like with NFS. You also have an option to do region-wide storage, which I will touch on a little bit. But a region is a grouping of zones. And a zone is basically a data center. A region is a grouping of zones or data centers. If you use something like Swift or S3 as your secondary storage, it's actually a secondary storage at the regional level. It means that you can actually share templates between zones, or if you need to do things with availability zones and you want to be able to snapshot and then recreate an environment in another zone, if you're using a secondary storage that is like S3 or Swift, then you can do that and you can basically snapshot a VM in one place, copy it, turn it into a template in a different zone, and then basically deploy from there. So a zone's usually a data center. It basically, at the zone-wide, you have your public IPs, your guest IP ranges. Those ranges are basically at the zone level, as well as secondary storage. Pods basically have your management network and your cluster connectivity. That's the layer 2 connectivity. Your clusters are basically a group of hosts of all the same type hypervisors, and Your primary storage is usually associated with your cluster. It doesn't have to be, but those are some edge cases that we can talk about if we would like. Hosts are basically any type of hypervisor that we support. We currently support VMware, Zen Server, and KVM, and Hyper-V. All right, so is this done yet? Not yet. So this just kind of, now that we have a little bit more information, this gives us a little bit more of a feel for what this actually means. So now, for CloudStack and KVM, basically it all talks over the management network. In this case, we are exposing primary storage from there. It usually would be a SAN. NFS is almost always used for secondary storage unless you're using something like Swift and so on. And KVM basically is being used for your all of your VRs and system VMs. So system VMs are something that might not necessarily be something that people know what they are. This is the SSVM. This is a secondary storage VM. Essentially what it does is it handles all of the transfer of snapshots from primary to secondary storage. It handles the snapshot to template details, and basically when you upload a template, it goes through the secondary storage SSVM to get to secondary storage. It basically is the plumbing for getting your templates, ISOs, snapshots. It's basically almost like an agent that does that, but it's an actual VM. The console proxy VM, basically what it does is it gives you a web UI for a VM's console. This is nice because it allows you to have access to a VM even if your networking is in shambles. So if you don't want to have SSH access, or you don't have a public IP on it or something along those lines, you didn't put a VPN in place or anything like that, you still have access to the console of the VM without any connectivity via networking to that VM. I wouldn't recommend using it as your primary management for that VM because you can't do copy and paste and stuff like that, which is frickin' annoying if you actually are gonna do management, but it's a very good fail-safe. It's a kinda get out of jail for free thing. So, what are we at here? So we're restarting. Ooh. Uh-oh, that's not good. Add host failed, unable to add host. That's not a good sign. Damn you. All right. Well, this is going to be interesting. So I'm not entirely sure why that failed. It worked every time before. So backup plan. All right, that also means I'm not going to be able to show all the CloudStack UI stuff. All right, well, that'll be interesting. Why the hell did that fail? All right. Do we know? Can't find network cloud bridge. What the hell? Did this not finish? I wonder if this network screwed me, because I forgot to remove this network. All right, well, that's a botch. Anyways, let's see, how do I recover from this?
Yeah, sure,
What's that?
No,
it rolls back. It rolls back the config. If it, yeah, so so it won't actually. I can do the manual stuff, but at the same time, it's not going to. It's not going to let me get to the. It's not going to let me get to the to add host because of that because that bridge.
Do you have another environment that is not the UI?
So, well, here is the UI. It just doesn't have any. So we would have a zone. We have a zone. It's disabled right now. So this is where our networking is. So we have our public network, and this would be the range is not here, but it would be 192.168.80.5, and it would be 255, 255, so on. VLAN I don't have, 192.168.80.6, and the same thing, but 254. And then add, so that would be my public IP range, and then so on. I won't bore you with all these details if it's not actually going to get set up. So the guest range is configured here, the management network is configured here, and so I really would have liked to have been able to go through. Okay, what we're going to do is we are going to switch things up a little bit. Okay, so this is the CloudStack UI. This is basically, obviously, an open source Apache project. And unfortunately, my host failed, and that is not a good thing. So what I'm going to do is to show the different concepts inside CloudStack. I don't have another CloudStack environment set up, but I do have cloud.ca, so I'm just going to go to that. This is a different, this is a layer, a management layer on top of CloudStack that is basically developed at CloudOps. It gives us the ability, it basically is the, has the same functionality as CloudStack, except for it has some extra flair. So this is the add instance thing for cloud.ca, which is basically, it's kind of a consolidated view of what is in CloudStack. So you have your templates, you have your service offerings. In this case, we'll pick like a 2x4. In this case, cloud.ca has the ability to kind of give you what your expected pricing is, and as you change things, it will basically give you what it expects it to cost or what it will cost. This is the network you want to put it on. For cloud.ca, we have the ability to do tiered storage. This isn't the latest features that we have, but you'll see that we basically have guaranteed IOPS for the different sizes. We have a new UI that allows you to specify your own, the size of the disk that you want, and it basically has a 35-to-1 ratio, so that which is configurable, but essentially, as you get to a bigger disk, you have the ability to have higher provisioned IOPS. So that gives a way you can basically you can add as many disks as you want. You can basically have them at whatever speed you want. This is another little optimization. Basically, it allows you to specify if you want port 80 open, 22, whatever. It will actually then go provision the public IP for that port, do the port forwarding rule and everything for you, and then just come back and give you the configuration as it's finished. This is Cloud Init, basically allows you to run some automation, install packages, that kind of stuff on launch. And then Affinity Groups, we don't have any install set up right now, but this allows you to have anti-affinity between, so say you have a master and slave database, and you don't want them to be on the same host. So you can set up an anti-affinity group. That means that your master and your slave will never be on the same host. That's kind of the workflow. This is what a what the UI looks like for basically viewing the resource, the VM resource. You have all the same features that you would in Cloud Stack for reset password, destroy, change compute offering, stop, view console, all that stuff. You can on the fly add add disks to a VM, and you have obviously all the network features that you have in Cloud Stack. So I'll just actually go to that. So there's two different types of modes for advanced networking in Cloud Stack. You have isolated guest networks on the left, and you have VPCs on the right. Essentially, the isolated guest networks are a single tier network. It handles source NAT, static NAT, port forwarding, load balancing, and firewall rules. Also has DHCP and DNS all handled inside the VR, and it gives you access to like a remote access VPN, so you can VPN into that network. VPC network basically has all the same type of thing, except for it's a multi-tier network, and it uses ACLs instead of firewall rules. It's basically the same thing, but you get access to a couple extra features. Site-to-site VPN is only available through VPCs. That allows you to basically connect your Cloud Stack network to a remote network. So say you have a on-premise data center and you have some services running in that data center. You don't want the service communication to be over the internet. So what you do is you create a site-to-site VPN between your data center, that your remote data center, and your VPC, and then the communication between that VPC and the services in that data center can happen over VPN. Private gateway is somewhat similar, but instead what it does is it allows you to basically have networking between a VPC and a data center connected network. So if you have a network in the data center that you run other services on or something like that, you can create a private gateway and then do static routes to different things in the data center. That is, the private gateway is only configurable by an admin because you don't want somebody to be able to create a network into your data center. That would be bad. But once a private gateway has been configured, then static routes can be created through the UI. So those are kind of the main features of that, of the two types of networking. So in this case, we have two different tiers. They have different, the VPC has a /22, and each of the tiers has a /24. And so you have kind of all those standard things. There's some additional things that we have on top for cloud.ca, and that's things like basically infinite organizations. Like you can have multi-tiered organizations. So in this case, I think I have a sub organization, and then I have a sub organization. And so those are two different organizations within this organization. I'm showing you this is a specific customer, essentially. This is CloudOps as a customer of cloud.ca. So this is not the admin view. If you have the admin view of this, you have a lot more going on. You have things like an overview of the infrastructure, so you can see everything that's happening in your infrastructure at any time. You have the ability to manage all of your organizations. In this case, we just have the ability to manage the organizations within our organization, and so on. This is all built on Cloud Stack, but it is not directly, is not direct feature comparison with CloudStack. This uses projects. This is the CloudStack project feature is how we are able to basically create the illusion. it is all separated, but we handle on top the actual separation, and all the role-based access control and all that stuff. So here's like a, for example, here I'll just fake a new role. So there's like, these are the permissions that any role can be given in cloud.ca, which is essentially CloudMC. These are the permissions that my user, who is the organizational admin for this company, has access to. There are more permissions that I don't have access to, which I obviously don't see, because I can only create roles that are equal to or less permissive than my role. And so in this case, we have a bunch of different things that are specific to this portal, like branding, for example. You can rebrand your organization. So maybe I probably shouldn't do it, but because it's not just my organization. But anyways, you can basically rebrand the different features. That's going to basically change the how this all looks. I could do, maybe I won't. environments are basically in isolation. Here, let me just go back to services. These are basically, this is a zone, and this is a different zone. So Ontario and Quebec, and these are the different environments in those zones. An environment is essentially a project. And then in that environment, you have, so this is one of my environments that I basically have set up for my own stuff. And then this is a different environment that has a different set of workloads. And then there are basically, when you create an environment, so let's just go here, and you add an environment, you can then pick the people in this organization who have access to that environment. And you basically can just drag and drop and say, I want Syed and Clement to have these. I want him to be an environment admin, and I want him to just be a user. And Pierre-Luc should be see what's going on, but not be able to actually do anything. And then you can basically configure the different roles and access for the different people in this. So I've strayed a lot from what we have in CloudStack because my demo failed, but at least you can get an idea of the type of things that you can do. Yes, this is a layer on top, but this is all based on the APIs that CloudStack exposes. So you can do a lot with this platform. It really is a very mature platform in terms of its API and what it can do, and so on. So in this case, we have CloudStack, and we also happen to have, in this environment anyways, we have Swift set up as well. So in this case, we actually have Object Store as a service also available through here. This is not CloudStack. This is OpenStack Swift. Basically allows you to manage objects. Let me just find me. And this lets you upload, for example, and you can drag and drop, and let's go here and go. I'll grab something like this.
Oops. And it will automatically, it will upload, and then I can go in here and I can say, where's my test? There it is. Get the URL, and then I can grab the URL and this is now like a public object. Well, in this case, it's because that container is public. It's just available. But you can have private and public containers. So in this case, it happens to be public. And you can rename and delete, and there's add folders, so you have file structure and stuff like that. But that's basically, it's just a UI on top of Swift. We have some other integrations that we are working on. We have a basic OpenStack integration, so you can manage your VMs in OpenStack through here as well. We do kind of hybrid cloud stuff, so we also, you can spin up VMs in CloudStack or in like AWS, for example. It all can be done through here. So it allows you to basically choose what your where you want a workload, and you can put it there. Gotten pretty off topic, and I wasn't really expecting to do this, so I'm not really, I don't even know if I'm making sense anymore, because I kind of just like on the fly completely changed what I was going to be talking about. So do we have any questions about anything? Because it's not at all where I was expecting to go with this. And so any questions about anything? CloudStack, what cloud.ca is doing, kind of anything in this space, I can definitely address anybody.
How long have you been running cloud.ca?
Cloud.ca has been in operation for probably, like we started it without it necessarily being public. It still is kind of we don't let just anybody create an account and run with it. There's a trial period, and people like see if they like it. At the same time, it's kind of our way to just make sure that we don't get blasted by people. So it's been running for probably a year and a half in production thereabouts. Only within the last 6 months have we started actually like onboarding customers at a real rate, where we actually have like lots of customers onboarding. Like we have probably, I don't know, 50 trials going at any given time right now. So it's definitely an uptick. We only just recently started to actually market it and stuff. So
okay, yeah. Thanks.
You mentioned what was it now? Docker.
Yeah.
So how would that relate? What would a typical implementation be in relation to CloudStack?
So I think that the stuff that that ShapeBlue has open source is the best option right now for Docker. In general, you have the ability to spin up CoreOS VMs, and then you can basically run your own Docker instances inside that. That's kind of the traditional way of doing it right now. It's containers, prior to what ShapeBlue has just open sourced, containers has not really been a first class citizen in CloudStack. It's been much more focused on the orchestration of compute resources and network and storage, obviously. It's only recently that we've actually kind of ventured down that path, and I think ShapeBlue with their integration is probably the most advanced that we have right now. So that's probably the short answer to that.
More questions? Yeah. So right now the VMs are sort of like the first class citizens, and it's sort of like quite hard to sort of like orchestrate the host because you can't easily configure VLANs. I mean, or at least if you sort of like want to do the host OS as well, you ruin that VLAN configuration problem.
Well, that's not entirely fair. We do orchestrate VM, like orchestrate hypervisors, so KVM, VM, whatever. But you can orchestrate bare metal with CloudStack as well. Now, there's two different, so I only touched on advanced networking here. But there is another type of networking, which is basic networking, which is a flat network everywhere, and it basically uses security groups for isolation. So there is bare metal support in both basic networking and advanced networking. With advanced networking, in order to be able to orchestrate bare metal in advanced networking, you need to be able to orchestrate your edge switch. You're basically your top of rack switch. Currently the only switch that is supported is the Force 10. I expect in the next, I would say, 3 to 6 months, we will probably see more switches being supported, and I suspect that we will see metal as a service becoming a very real possibility in CloudStack. I know a few people who are working on this, and so metal as a service is going to become a much more of a real-time offering in CloudStack in the probably relatively near future. So that is going to open a lot more of the interesting stuff with, like, say, Kubernetes and stuff like that, because then if you just have you basically just put metal out there and then you spin up Kubernetes on the metal, and you're basically have a really clean integration between your infrastructure and how you're doing containers. So that's gonna make a big difference. I think that's gonna be actually a really interesting thing for containers, because then you can orchestrate your infrastructure and take advantage of all the container functionality as well. So that's gonna be pretty interesting, and I expect that to be something that matures quite a bit in the next 6 months in CloudStack.
So I actually have a question for.
Yeah.
Both of you. Which are you looking at particular switch that you would like to get this done? We can take a look and see if somebody in our community can help you.
No.
Okay. Okay. And the question for you, you mentioned containers are not kind of a first-class citizen in CloudStack yet. Let's imagine for a minute that as you can spin a VM, we give you an ability to pick a Docker Hub image and say, please create a container for me now. Would that be something interesting? The thing that people have different opinions is there are people who wants to treat container and work with containers in the same way as they're running with VMs, more or less. And there's a whole kind of a new world where people don't want to manage individual containers or create one or create two or create five. They just want to work at application level and say, please make this application run for me, figure out whatever else you want to do. And that's where the Kubernetes and other orchestrators play a role. So the question is, do you see people using containers without the Kubernetes or Swarm or something along those lines? Because that's a different way of approaching. And if we just treat a container at a VM level, that's another way to kind of think about it and make it happen.
Yeah.
Right? So if you have any preference, or do you have a use case that you're looking forward to, or do you have a preference between one or the other?
Yeah, it's kind of whether or not the container orchestrator is the first class citizen, or whether the container itself is the first class citizen. And that's not to say that both can't be done. The The interesting thing from the cloud stack perspective is having the orchestrator as a first class citizen kind of makes more sense because you are you're basically setting up a pool of resources in which the containers can run in, and then the containers are spun up in that pool of resources. But that's obviously kind of up for debate. The alternative is to basically, like right now, you can easily spin up a CoreOS VM and then put your containers on it, if that is interesting. But the problem is that then you're, what have you really gained by doing that, in a way?
Essentially ESX at that point, I think, so.
What's that?
It's kind of essentially just ESX at that point.
Right, exactly. So where I think it is a little bit more interesting is being able to have container orchestrators as a first-class citizen, especially with the metal-as-a-service stuff that, I'll say it's working, but at the same time, it's going to get, it's going to be getting some attention in the near future. So as we get metal as a service like polished in CloudStack, and we get container orchestration as a first class citizen in CloudStack, it makes a really interesting story about what you can actually do with it, because you then have VMs as a first class citizen, and then you have containers in a clustered fashion, which is a better way to run containers anyways, rather than just giving it a single host, and then if something happens to that host for some reason, then you're not really taking advantage of some of the spreading your workload across multiple hosts that containers can give you. So yeah, if you have more feedback on the direction that you would like to see containers go in CloudStack, I think it would be a good time to voice any opinions that people have. But I suspect to see the container orchestration as the first class citizen in CloudStack, I think that's the most likely scenario. More questions? All right. Who here has checked baggage to get home? No, seriously, who here has, anybody have checked baggage? Anybody? You have checked baggage? Sweet. All right, here, this is much too large for me to get in my carry-on. So, thank you guys. Sorry the demo kind of didn't do exactly what I was expecting, but welcome to the world of the demo gods, right? It just always happens that way. Thank you.